The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases.
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We have a Will Cain Show mock draft. We draw names out of a hat, or the modern technological version of that. We've assigned teams in the first round to everybody here on the show, and we will conduct a live mock draft here on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation at 888-729-3776. And if you are drafting, pay attention, because ESPN NFL insider Ed Werder's on the phone, and he is covering for this draft the Broncos, the Seahawks, the Cowboys, and the Cardinals. I don't know who has those teams yet. We're going to unveil those a little bit later here on the Will Cain Show. But here is your insight right now for those teams. What's up, Ed?
Hey, Will. How you doing?
I'm good. Let's talk about some of the teams you're covering. I'm hearing today rumors that the Denver Broncos are interested in trading up. Is there any truth to that rumor?
Well, we just had a Zoom call with John Elway, the general manager, who will make that final decision on the 15th pick. He said, when I asked him that very question, that they are making, you know, preparations to move in any direction as well as staying at 15. I think the concern that I hear from him is it's going to be difficult to make trades when you're on the clock. And so there's going to have to, more than ever in this virtual draft, be sort of an outline of a deal already in place, you know, several picks in advance. And yeah, he's interested in trading. This will be his 10th draft with the Broncos. He's gone up twice. Neither move proved to be terribly successful. But I do think the Broncos, you know, have to make a decision. They've established Drew Lock, the second-year quarterback, as their starting player. Elway said that they're going to try and build around him in this draft. Offense is the issue for the Broncos. You know, if they're going to end this three-year losing streak, not making the playoffs 4 years in a row. And I think John, as a former Hall of Fame Super Bowl winning quarterback, is in a unique position to help Drew Lock. And he has to decide, is my young quarterback going to perform better if he's better protected and I replace Garrett Bowles at left tackle and make him feel more secure in terms of being pressured? Or is he going to be more effective if I create, you know, another option at wide receiver opposite Cortland Sutton? And I think that's where they would move up in the draft if they decide to go get Jerry Jeudy. And to do that, Will, they probably have to get up somewhere around 10 or 11, because that's where I think the run on the receivers is likely to start.
So the point of trading up would be to target a wide receiver in your estimation, specifically Jerry Jeudy. I want to go back to what you said about the difficulty of pulling off trades in this technological Zoom NFL draft like we've never had before. Do you expect that then, Ed, that what we're going to see in the next couple of days, possibly apexing around Wednesday and Thursday morning, is we'll start hearing about trades that are already agreed to and solidified before the draft starts?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've always seen that, especially when it's a team making a big move for a quarterback. I mean, in 2016, that happened with the Rams and Jared Goff, and it happened with the Eagles and Carson Wentz, because they had to make two trades to get up high enough to grab Wentz with the second overall pick after the Rams had committed to Goff. So I think you will see some repositioning, especially among the teams that want to go and get a quarterback if they're sure that they can get up high enough to obtain the player that they want to make the move for. In those two cases, obviously, once the Rams were committed at one, then the Eagles were confident that if they got to two, they could get the quarterback they wanted, which was Wentz. I think there'll also be trades in the next few days, as we've seen in recent years, of veteran players for draft picks. I think that's entirely possible. And then I think the thing Elway's talking about is, you know, what kind of activity are we going to see in the first round of this draft? Because last year there were six trades in the first round. In 2018, there were seven. The year before that, there were six. So that's kind of become the standard. And I think he's questioning whether there's going to be that same level of activity given the circumstances that are unique to this particular draft.
ESPN NFL Insider Ed Werder here on the Will Cain Show. He's covering the Broncos for the NFL Draft on Thursday and into the weekend. He also has the Seahawks, the Cowboys, and the Cardinals. Let's talk about a couple of other teams, Ed. The Cardinals, I believe they're sitting at 8, right? That's where
correct.
They are? And
yes, they
every
are.
They're, every mock draft I've seen, almost every, in fact, Ed, as I love the draft and I play around with these things always, it just makes entirely too much sense for the Cardinals to target an offensive lineman to protect Kyler Murray. So every time I see a mock draft that has them either taking a receiver or a defender, I think, come on, that's not what they would do. Where are they? I mean, they're one of those big four offensive linemen are going to probably fall to them at 8. And I would just think they can't pass up on the opportunity to protect Kyler Murray.
Yeah, and historically, you know, Steve Keim has picked high in the draft very frequently. This will be the 8th time since he took over the Cardinals personnel department that they're picking in the top 10. And only 3 of his 7 previous first-rounders are currently on the Arizona roster, so he hasn't always done this successfully. He's actually been better at trading for veteran players. But, yeah, to your point, I think the decision that the Cardinals have to make, as I outlined with Denver, is, you know, they made an investment with the number 1 overall pick last year in Kyler Murray. He was sacked an NFL high 48 times his rookie season. Part of that was his own inexperience. He got far better, you know, later in the season than he was early in the year. And I think the other – so I think you're right with the tackles. I think Andrew Thomas, Mekhi Becton, Tristan Wirfs, Jedrick Willis, they all make a lot of sense. And talking to Steve Keim this week, he has a high opinion of all those guys. He called Becton freakish. He said Willis is tough and nasty. So that certainly would seem to suggest that's a direction they're going to go unless something unexpected happens. They also do, Will, have a defense that – despite 19.5 sacks from Chandler Jones last year, finished dead last in the NFL. So to me, those are the two things that will drive the decision that Steve Keim and Cliff Kingsbury ultimately make, which is, do we improve the worst defense in football or do we protect our franchise quarterback? I would guess their best option is going to be to protect their franchise quarterback.
Peter King in his Football Morning in America column talked about Steve Keim has a history of not taking best player available. He might have learned that lesson. He pointed specifically when they took an offensive lineman, Levi Brown, over Adrian Peterson. And that was a huge mistake.
And Peter King also gave them a defensive player with the 8th pick in Isaiah Simmons.
Simmons falling to them.
The most versatile player in the draft on the defensive side of the ball.
And then there's the Cowboys. So, Ed, the Cowboys are in an interesting position where it looks like they want an edge rusher or a cornerback. There's some rumors of linebacker floating around out there, which you wouldn't think was immediate need. But what I've read is what they would do is then move Jalen Smith into an edge rushing position. So they – and that's also, could they trade down because they like an offensive lineman? Do you have any idea where the Cowboys are headed at this point?
Well, I think the trade down scenarios – are the result of the semi-unexpected retirement of Travis Frederick, their starting center and a former number 1 pick. To replace him, they might have to move down from 17, and they could acquire, one of the top centers in the draft later in the round or possibly in the 2nd round. I think their more immediate need is on the defensive side of the ball, and that's what Stephen Jones said that, you know, was going to be their major commitment this offseason. And it's going to be pretty hard to improve on the defensive side of the ball unless you address it in the draft because of all the money they're paying on the offensive side of the ball. It's disproportionate what they're paying on the offensive side versus the defense. It's only going to get worse depending on what happens with Dak Prescott. He's going to make, you know, he's going to go from making $2 million against the cap to making $30-plus million against the cap in all likelihood. They lost their best pass rusher in the offseason to the Chicago Bears. In Quinn, leaving as a free agent. They lost Byron Jones, their best cover corner. So they've got to acquire defensive help in this draft. So I think if LaVon Chaisson is there from LSU, he's a guy they would take. I think they love C.J. Henderson, the corner, but he's probably not going to be there. And so I think the talk about linebacker, quite honestly, has to do with the fact that with Mike McCarthy now in charge and Mike Nolan, the defensive coordinator, they're going to play more 3-4, it sounds like. So they need an extra linebacker from that point of view. And I still think there's a lot of questions about you know, Leighton Vander Esch, their number one pick 2 years ago, who was an outstanding rookie, but then missed 7 games late last season and required neck surgery. I don't think there's any certainty about him coming back and being back at the level he was his rookie year in the NFL when he was one of those spectacular young players on the defensive side of the ball. And I do think it's possible that Jalen Smith becomes more of a rusher because he's been effective doing that. And if they can straight line rush him, he's better doing that than he is getting isolated in coverage.
All right. It's Ed Werder, ESPN NFL insider, covering Broncos, Seahawks, Cowboys, and Cardinals here on the Will Cain Show. Ed, I can't wait till Thursday. We'll be watching you, man. Thanks for jumping on today.
Should be fascinating. Thanks for the invite, Will.
Okay. Take care. All right. Coming up, is it all Jerry Krause's fault? Plus, who's drafting for which team here on the Will Cain Show? Tomorrow's our big in-show mock draft. Who did Mike A., Bubba, Nuno, Pat, and myself get? That's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Giveback, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit GEICO.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
This is Will Cain.
I am a big fan of your show. You make my head want to explode like 4 times an hour. You have bowling balls, okay? What I want you to understand is there any point in time that you might back down a little bit and give up a little bit of your whiteness?
Was it really all Jerry Krause's fault? Coming up here on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, one of Michael Jordan's college teammates helps us step inside the mind of the GOAT. The Will Cain Show is brought to you by Barbasol Shaving Cream. Barbasol is now better than ever, America. Try the new Ultra Grip can today with a protective cap and rust-proof aluminum bottom. Close shave, America. Close shave, Barbasol. Ken in Southern California is on the phone. What's up, Ken?
Well, just want to tell you I like your show. I think you're smart and thoughtful, and I've been listening to Sports Talk Radio for 60 years. Yours is the only show I've ever tried to call so I could disagree with you.
Thank you.
Never got through
jets
before, but today I'm not disagreeing, but just an observation about The Last Dance and what I thought maybe you wanted to have your children see. And that was the scene where Michael Jordan's at practice, and he's giving, you know, the other guys a hard time. And it's one thing to be a leader and to, you know, lead by example. I think LeBron does that. I think Kobe did that. But I wonder if they also have or were able to ever speak to their teammates the way Jordan did, or he was unique in having earned the right to do that.
You know, Ken, so I think it's going to be fascinating to watch this documentary unfold. And this is going to tie into the conversation I want to have about Jerry Krause. And I appreciate the call. And that is this. Who's the villain? If you watch the documentary right now, 2 episodes in, the villain is clear. It's Jerry Krause. It is the former Chicago Bulls general manager. But it's so clear that I become skeptical. Look, man, I understand. I have a natural contrarian instinct, and if something is being told to me bluntly, banging me over the head with it, I'm like, I don't know. You know, I got to think about this. This feels one-sided. This doesn't feel right. And it's clear. It's clear from 2 episodes in that Jerry Krause is the villain. Although he helped build that Bulls dynasty, traded for Scottie Pippen, and helped create a team that would end up winning 6 NBA finals, he's also the guy, as we're told so far, whose ego and inability to give credit or just let all the credit go to Phil Jackson and the players destroyed the whole project. But I almost wonder if there's a twist coming. Because here's the thing. I think Jordan is a really complicated individual. And I'm not sure by the end of this that he does come out entirely heroic. I'm not sure he does come out without some of that villain label attached to him as well. Because what Ken brings up is the way he interacts with his teammates. Look, we know when that went south, right? We've heard about that with various teammates. And I don't know. There's already people upset that he talked about Scottie Pippen's money last night. We're going to get into that a little bit later here on the show. No, but what I loved about Jordan was the leadership idea, and not when he was getting on his teammates, but how he earned leadership. I just love that. I mean, that he steps in, he knows as a rookie he's already the best player, he knows it in his heart, but he can't start talking, he can't say, guys, follow me. Instead, what he has to do is take down the previous leader. And the only way he can take down the previous leader isn't talking behind his back or vocally challenging him in the locker room, it's to destroy him on the practice court. And he went about that right away. And that's like how you get a new, what did I say earlier, a new lion that's the leader of the pride. That's that. And then it was over. And they said in the documentary, within 2 weeks, everybody knew that Michael Jordan was the best player on the team, and it was his team. Jay Williams, ESPN's basketball analyst, was on Golic and Wingo this morning, and he played for the Bulls, and he didn't like how Jerry Krause was depicted.
Jerry Krause and I had such a different relationship, and I remember having conversations with Jerry about what he felt like he learned dealing with Michael Jordan and some of the mistakes he felt like he had made. And our level of communication was drastically different. So last night, you know, watching how they depicted Jerry and then also understanding JK and also understanding Jerry Krause and the way they think and having relationships with them afterwards, I was kind of like, everybody had egos in that locker room. Did Jerry have one? Yeah. Did Phil have one and feel like he should have been the highest paid? Yes. Did Scottie have one to a degree? Yes. Was Jordan very adamant and forced his will upon people? Yeah. So it almost made me feel like it was, we're trying to tear people apart, and that's ultimately what happened. But I mean, Jerry Krause is also one of the best human beings that I had ever met. So it made me feel some type of way about that last evening as well.
That's interesting coming from Jay Williams. Now, here's the thing. I have worked with people that I would say it's simple and it's easy. Not a great dude. There are just, you know, there are people like that in the world. Not a great dude. But when it's overly simplistic, and somebody's a villain, I just start to wonder. I'll tell you what, I'd love it if Jay was on the show. I'd like to talk to somebody who knows more about Jerry Krause. Is it believable that he had a Napoleon complex, that he couldn't get credit? And you'll see in the documentary, those guys were terrible to him. Like Jordan, making fun of him being short, always disliking him. But at the same time, he didn't like Phil Jackson. He said incredibly, I don't care if Phil goes 82-0. This is his last season as head coach of the Bulls. It's easy to see how he's the villain, but it's just hard to think in life how somebody is simply a villain. All right, how do we do this? Mike, we're going to do a show draft tomorrow, right? An NFL draft. We're all picking for teams. Nuno, Bubba, Pat, Mike A., and myself. And Mike, you have determined who we're drafting for?
Yes, I use some creative randomizing to give us all different teams.
Okay. So, do you have time to unveil this to us right now, or do we need to do this in a upcoming
segment? No. We need a later segment for this.
Okay. All right. I got the Cowboys, though, right? Not Bubba.
Yes, I gave you the Cowboys.
Okay. We all got to pick our favorite for our favorite teams, but then there was a controversy. Who gets the Cowboys, Will or Bubba? And I was like, well, I do. Sorry, Bubba. We can do it in concert. It'll be like we'll communicate, Bubba, but I'll be Jerry Jones. You know how he
listens to. So Bubba will have no say.
No, he listens to everybody, but he's the decider. Like President Bush, I'm the decider in the end. So I do want your input, Bubba, but I will decide. Coming up, one of Michael Jordan's college teammates, Buzz Peterson, next on the Will Cain Show.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name? Check. Birthday? Social security? Is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
It feels like the entire country is tuned in to The Last Dance, a documentary on the final years of the Chicago Bulls dynasty. Last night, parts 1 and 2 aired on ESPN, and they go largely into Michael Jordan's mentality. be fascinating to see what the ratings are. Have those come out yet? If those come out, guys, tell me what the ratings for the first night of The Last Dance are. But now joining us on our phone lines is, oh, not yet. We're about to have one of Michael Jordan's college teammates, also the assistant general manager of the Charlotte Hornets, Buzz Peterson, is supposed to be joining us in just a moment on the show. I think Nuno was on the phone with him, told him he'd call him back. Now Nuno must have forgotten. Is that what happened, Mike? Did Nuno forget to call him back?
Well, no, it's me. I'm the one who's answering the phones. And he said he'd call back, and I just haven't seen him call back yet.
Well, you're supposed to take control of that, Mike. You don't turn it over to them. You call them. Did you get his phone number?
No, tell me how else to produce, and I'll tell you how to host.
Nuno, am I wrong?
No, you're supposed to stay on top of that.
Yeah.
But I do. You're welcome, or you're sorry. I accept your
what?
I don't know.
I mean, I can't even hear a word he's been saying the entire day. I don't understand him. I can't hear him. I mean, what is going on with this guy?
Sometimes people come through. Buzz is there.
Buzz is here. Okay. Hey, Buzz, what's up?
How we doing? Well,
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing awesome.
Good. Thank you for joining us today.
No problem. Thank you.
So first of all, I think everybody's delving into Michael Jordan's mindset today. I mean, it's you know, the ultimate competitor, determined. Was he tough to be around? We were talking about this a little bit earlier. You were college teammates with him, but you actually also won North Carolina High School Basketball Player of the Year the same year that you and both Jordan came out of high school. Isn't that right?
Hey, that's right. I love it. I like doing your homework. Michael always teased it. When I would go to Chicago and I meet his friends, that would come up in conversation. He'd always say, well, what you got to know in North Carolina, there's 7 major newspapers there, and Buzz's dad owns 6 of them. That's why he won it.
When you first met Michael, I'm curious when this kind of persona or mindset, maybe that's better. Maybe he always had it. He talked about in the documentary last night that being with his older brother Larry and competing and turning everything into a fist fight afterwards bred that competitive nature. But I imagine meeting you and having lost out to you on North Carolina High School Basketball Player of the Year, that might have set your relationship off on a pretty competitive footing, right?
Yeah, it did. I know in his speech for the he was enshrined in the Hall of Fame, he mentioned something about, you know, every day I went to practice, I had to be better than Buzz. And I said, in my mind, I said, I wish I'd have known that at the time. I'd have said, I got to be better than Michael every day. But he was, you know, you said Larry, his brother. Larry was, Larry was a good player. I played pickup ball with him too. But I always credit a lot of this to being the youngest of 3 boys. I'm sure his dad would say to him, Michael, Mike at that time, if you're going out there to battle with your older brothers and you get hurt, don't come in here crying. You better stand up for yourself if you want to go against them. So that was probably instilled in him at a young age.
Was it obvious right away? First of all, here's the premise, and you tell me if it's true and if it was obvious right away. What distinguishes Michael is, yes, incredible athleticism and work ethic, but it seems to be that the competitive nature is what is the variable here. It is just at a higher level, and probably sometimes at an unhealthy level, than even other great competitors. A, is that true? And if so, was that noticeable right away when you guys got to college?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can give you stories that this competitive nature in him to win at all costs is there. You saw it last night in the documentary where he's on a practice court and Ron Harper and Goo Coach had did something wrong there. You've got to be playing to your highest, exerting every bit of energy you got when you're playing with him. And at the same time, you better be thinking what you're going to do on offense or defense, because he's just not a guy out there running up and down. He's a thinker on a basketball court. And so he'll call you out, and that's what he did. Now, these are true stories. I remember after our freshman year, we're at home in my house in Asheville, North Carolina, and we're playing a simple card game of Crazy 8, whatever, with my mother and my sister. And I noticed, I'm sitting there thinking, where's the 8 of spades? In Crazy 8, where's the 8 of spades? You know where the 8 of spades was? Under his leg. Because he had to win. He'd do whatever it was to cheat.
Well, so he was cheating.
That's right. Or whatever. He was going to win whatever we played. That's just him.
Buzz Peterson, Michael Jordan's college teammate, also assistant general manager at the Charlotte Hornets here on the Will Cain Show. That is that's amazing. You hear about that over and over. You hear about it with other athletes, that kind of competitive drive. So when Michael came in, one of the things I liked they talked about in the documentary, Buzz, is when he got to the Bulls, he couldn't take leadership right away because you can't do that with your voice. So he targeted whoever the leader was of the Bulls, and he said, I'm going to destroy him in practice. I'm going at him. Yeah. And that's how he asserted his leadership. I know you had Worthy. You had a heck of a team. You had Sam Perkins. What was Michael's role on that Tar Heels team throughout the years? Like, when did he become, or did he ever really become, the team leader?
Well, not that first year. I mean, because he had a lot of respect for James Worthy, Sam Perkins, those guys, because he saw they went through it the year before when they got to the finals against Indiana that year. And so, but I tell you this, I did notice there was days that he was dying to play one-on-one with Worthy. And he wanted to, you know, go against him, just see where he measured up. And there was times I'd see he tried to go at him, at James, and knowing he might not get the best of James, but he just wanted to see where he would measure up against the best player on the team. So he didn't have the vocal leadership then as a freshman. But as that, between that freshman and sophomore year, you saw this mass improvement, a guy that plans a lot of confidence, hit the shot in New Orleans that changed the name from Mike to Michael. And now people knew him throughout the nation. And when pros would come back and play pickup games in Woolen Gym, Michael went at him. And he wanted to see how he measured against some of the pros. And he got the best out of them a lot of the times.
You, I believe, did I get this right as well? Was Michael best man at your wedding?
He was not the best man, but he was in the wedding. But we went to the guy that got us started in golf was Davis Love III, and Davis was also in a wedding. But in 84, Davis got us going, and we spent a lot of afternoons after we got upset by Indiana trying to be golf players. And I mean, it immediately Michael was like, okay, the closest to the flag, this who can win close to the flag, which 100 yards away, whatever. He was terrible. We were both awful at golf at that time, just terrible, but always competitive and beating, trying to beat you at anything.
Davis Love III got you two into golf. That's how that
– correct. How'd
that work? He invited you guys out and you just loved it?
Yeah, Davis and I were in a class together, and he lived at Finley Golf Course, and he would park where we lived at Granville Towers, and when he would knock on the door, Davis and I would walk to class. And one day we came back from class, and Mike was in there, and he says, what are you getting ready to do? I said, I'm going with Davis down to the golf course, hit some golf balls. And he said, can I go? I said, yeah, sure, come along. And he came along. That's where it all got started.
Buzz Peterson, assistant general manager of the Charlotte Hornets here on the Will Cain Show. Before I let you go, Buzz, I can only imagine how difficult this time is, especially professionally right now with everything going on, the NBA season on hiatus. We don't know if it's going to come back. Where are you guys right now in Charlotte? Do you feel like you're going to be able to come back this season? What do you see for the rest of this year?
And that's hard to speculate. We just listen to Commissioner Silver, and we all have the utmost confidence in him that he's exploring all the avenues. He's talking to many people, trying to figure out what's best. So it's a lot of uncertainty there, but at the same time, you feel a lot of confidence that the commissioner will have us back out there when it's the safe time. The most important thing is the wellness. Everybody's healthy. The players are healthy. And when that time is, it feels like it's a clearance, then I'm sure we'll go. But we're listening to the commissioner and have the utmost confidence in him in that situation.
Okay. Buzz Peterson here on the Will Cain Show. I really appreciate your time. It's been fun talking to you, Buzz.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on.
All right, take care. You should tune into The Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Chicago Bulls dynasty. The series continues this Sunday, 9 Eastern on ESPN. And listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen Jacoby immediately following the broadcast. Presented by State Farm and AT&T. Available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Okay, the show mock draft. Let's get the assignment of which teams I'll be drafting for Mike A., Bubba, Pat, Nuno, who we're drafting for. And we got to set the groundwork for the best comedy special since 2000. I got some questions. Next on the Will Cain Show.
Which is Will Cain being escorted to his seat. When he walked out, it was the loudest booze I had ever heard. He loved it, and he turned to who was escorting him. Did you get that for social?
Don't worry. More Will Cain is coming up.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Can't get enough of Will Cain.
You have a great show, and you're a good-looking dude.
Call him at 888-SAY-ESPN.
Man, you have a great show. All right, thanks, man. I always listen to you. So you're a good-looking guy.
Show mock draft. Who's drafting for which team? That's coming up in just a moment here on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection just got easier with more than 30 coverage options available. Progressive has you covered. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Nuno did his research. The Last Dance averaged 6.1 million viewers. Episodes 1 and 2 across ESPN and ESPN 2 platforms, 9 to 11 last night. That seems good. That's big, I think. Okay, let's do this. We are, in 30 minutes, going to nominate our favorite comedy special from the year 2000 onward. A little bit earlier in the show, Norm MacDonald's Hitler's Dog got last place among the five of us. I didn't vote for it last. But the other four guys did, including Bubba, who was the one that nominated it. We are having trouble, all of us, picking number one. I think that's right, right? Does anybody... Bubba, you're debating between one and two. I'm debating between one and two. Does anybody, Mike A., Pat, do you guys have a clear number one at this point? Any of you?
I got a clear one.
Well, yep, okay. So do I.
Okay. Nope. All right. All right. Nuno doesn't either. He's with me and Bubba. Okay. So let's do some observations on the comedy special as we lay out our mock draft selection order. Okay. So Mike A., do this. I want you to walk me through picks 1 through 10. Tell me who has them. Take it away.
Oh, way to make it hard on me. All right. So the first pick is the Bengals, and Bubba will be making their pick.
Right. Yes!
And it's a good thing because we won't hear from you for a while. Okay. The number two pick is the Redskins, made by Pat.
Pat's picking Redskins. Oh, that's good. He didn't know anything, so that'll make it easy on him. Yeah. Go ahead.
The third pick goes to me.
All right.
The fourth pick, the Giants, obviously goes to Nuno. And I swear I didn't set it up this way. The fifth pick is the Dolphins, and making all three picks for the Dolphins will be me.
Okay, all right.
That's convenient.
Yeah, because that's what I want, to figure out who the Dolphins want at 26. Shut up, Pat. Why do we let you be a thing?
Go!
The Chargers is Will. The Panthers is me. The Cardinals is Nuno. The Jaguars and both of their picks is Nuno. And the Browns at 10 is... I'm looking for it.
This is very suspicious. Mike has a lot of picks in the top 10. A lot.
Yeah. So far, I have one.
Will has the Browns.
I have one.
Okay. Well, I just got my second, Bubba. I just got my second. Okay, there's the first 10. Okay, I think the way to do this now is you're going to tell us which teams we have going forward. But Harry in New York wants to jump in. What's up, Harry?
Oh, my God, Will. I got to tell you, I've been a really long-time listener. I got to tell you, I had a lot of respect for you up until you told me on the radio that Dave Chappelle was last.
Okay, hold on, Harry. Hold on. It's not Dave Chappelle. It was that special compared to the other four, right?
That was the greatest special ever. That might have been the greatest special ever.
I think Sticks and Stones is better. I think Sticks and Stones is better. I think his new stuff is smarter. I think he's better now.
Listen, I have to call collusion. I have to call collusion. I know.
The rare collusion call.
I'm calling collusion on this because Norm MacDonald, though he was funny, okay, I did my homework. Okay, he was.
You watched them all? You did the homework over the weekend? You watched all five?
I did. Okay. I absolutely did. And it wasn't as bad as I thought. But to hear the words come out of your mouth that Dave Chappelle was last, it broke my heart.
Okay, really quick, Harry, who do you vote for first? The show will do theirs later, but since you did your homework, which one was the best?
I still think Dave Chappelle, but I wouldn't be upset with anything other than than Norm last. Norm's got to be last in that group. Anything after that, I could live with. But
okay,
come on, man.
All right. I love you. I love you, Harry. I hope you still respect me. All right. Now, go ahead, Mike. Give me, I don't know. What are we going to do? You going to give me the next 10?
Yeah, see, you totally flipped it on its side by making me go 1 through 10 as opposed to just giving you the teams that you've got. So,
okay.
Will, let me put it this way. You have the Cowboys, the Raiders, the Ravens, the Falcons, the Chargers, and the Browns.
Collusion.
It is collusion because the Falcons pick right before the Cowboys, and they have some of the same needs.
I'm calling collusion like Harry. Yeah.
All right.
It was randomized.
All right.
All right, Bubba, you want yours? After the Bengals, Bubba, you don't pick till the 20s. You've got the Chiefs, Titans, Vikings, and Patriots.
He didn't have very many teams. All right.
Well, the Vikings have 2 picks.
All right. Thought we all supposed to have equal teams. Go ahead. What's Pat have?
It's 7-7-6-6-6.
Okay.
I think I have 5 teams.
Vikings have 2 picks, so you have 6 picks.
What is happening?
Is Harry still on the phone?
Nah, he left.
Oh, I thought I had you.
That's Nuno.
This is terrible. This is terrible. Keep the music going, Bubba. All right, back to comedy. So what I found is this, guys. When we're making this debate, you got to give Norm credit for something. He did fall out of the formula, don't you think? Like everybody does, they do some race humor, they do some men-women humor, they do some sex humor. Norm's just out here talking about sandwiches, you know? Like, why can't you get the triangle sandwiches anywhere but a party? You got to give him credit for originality.
Yeah, he was definitely completely different than everyone else. That's why I said from the beginning, I feel bad putting him, you know, 5th. I almost want to put him 2nd, and the other guys were all tied for 1st, because I enjoyed Norm a lot. I just felt like it wasn't quite up to par as the other ones. But, you know, as a fan of Norm and friend of the show, it was a good special.
Okay, but then here's what makes it easier then. If they all kind of did a lot of the same subject matter, to me, it'll be easier for us to pick who did it best. Like, who was most provocative, who was most original on those same subjects. Who's Pat got in the draft?
Pat has the Eagles, Bucks, Redskins, Broncos, and both 49ers picks.
Okay. Give me yours.
Jets, Panthers, Dolphins, and their 3 picks. Lions and Seahawks.
And that leaves our supreme leader.
Giants, Packers, Cardinals, Saints, and both the Jaguars picks.
Okay. I'm happy with mine. I like mine. Okay, Louis C.K., Bill Burr, and Patrice O'Neill with Dave Chappelle with a shot. Who's got the best comedy special? Plus, what's up with Scottie Pippen's contract? Did he have a right after all those years to go, I'm getting underpaid, when he agreed to a long-term secure deal? Let's go back into The Last Dance next on The Will Cain Show.
Thank you for listening to The Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to The Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.